It's football at 4 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Ah, here we go on this gorgeous Monday. D-Mac with Nikki Javala. Nikki, who's coming to town here? Anybody new and interesting these days with the Broncos visit-wise?
I saw that Mike put out that they have a defensive end visiting this week. They're nearing the end of the visits. I mean, this is the point where they start wrapping things up and getting their board together. And
so it's tricky finding out, and Mike Kliss is who you're referring to.
Yeah.
It's tricky to find out who they bring in. It's not like they...
It's a weird game because sometimes, a lot of times actually, the agents, they don't want to put it out there because they say the teams don't want it out there, but others believe, well, this is beneficial to my client, to, you know, for people to be aware of who they're visiting, and they'll leak it to you, but teams generally don't put it out there, so it's weird finding out. And then at the same time, I just don't put too much stock into it, because just because they're bringing somebody in doesn't mean they're extremely interested in the guy.
Well, it could. It depends.
It could. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
But I think it's fair to say, well, at least it's a position that they're looking at. So when I hear like a defensive end's coming in, I say, okay. And that to me indicates, you know, we don't know exactly where we are with.
I hear more and more that it's looking like defense in the first round, unless, you know, Dwayne Haskins falls.
Is that the case?
To me, it looks more and more like they would try to take a defender in the first round, and maybe they go D-line, because they are thin up there. And, you know, Vic Fangio wants to find his type of guy. He's got a lot to choose from in that first round.
He's got a lot to choose from. Mm-hmm. Where are you leaning these days?
I'm kind of leaning toward D-line, but, you know, anything can change on day one. You know, if Kyler Murray slips.
So if Rashawn Gary was there, you'd go with Rashawn Gary. That's an edge rusher, but you'd go in that way?
Look at him more Ed Oliver, but he's smaller.
Ed Oliver.
So, you know, is he that versatile guy that Vic Fangio
likes? You would think Ed Oliver over Devin White?
No, but I also don't think Devin White's going to be there at 10.
Because everybody thinks he's going to Tampa.
Yeah.
Right. All right. What if Dwayne Haskins is there?
Yeah. I think you take him.
Why?
Because that's your future starter. Instead of taking a guy at second round, third round, I think you're on the same page with me on this. Yeah. It doesn't make much sense.
No, of course not.
You know,
this is the essence of the big beef with us, me, and the Mike Evans in the morning show. I think Mark just comes along for the ride because he just wants to draft offensive linemen, and mow his lawn. So I think that's where Mark's head's really at.
But Haskins is the best quarterback in this class, in my mind.
Better than Kyler Murray.
I think so.
Did the Broncos have Kyler Murray in or not?
They brought in all the big four ones.
So Kyler Murray at some point was here.
Yep.
Okay.
But Haskins kind of, he fits the Elway mold, so to speak, in that he's more of a pocket passer.
Mm-hmm. Big dude.
Taller guy, yeah.
Accuracy.
Yeah.
Had a bad game against Purdue.
The thing with him is he's only had 14 starts. So he's
not a lot of experience.
Yeah, but on the flip side, you view that as, well, is it potential? You bring in the right coaches? Can you... You look at what Rich Gangarello did with the 49ers quarterbacks. Can he replicate that here in Denver?
And here's the deal. If you're going to take a quarterback, I feel like I've said this 10 gajillion times. If you really don't feel solid in who your current starting quarterback is for a long period of time, then the essence of the draft is to find the best available quarterback and take him as high as possible. And then at some point you will move on from whoever the, you know, guy is, the placeholder, to that younger guy. And you have to do that because why did you draft the guy in the first round in the first place? Whereas if you just take a guy in later rounds, there's hardly any commitment to that dude one way or the other.
They were committed to Brock Osweiler for 4 years and really thought he would be...
Not really, though. They really weren't, though. Because if they were committed to Brock, they would have secured him up financially. There wouldn't have been any doubts about him. And they passed on Brock, you know, during training camp where they could have signed him up during the season. And they waited forever after the season was over to really go to Brock. And then they took him for granted. So
I don't think that's necessarily true.
Oh, really?
I think they were not willing to match what Houston offered, which was an insane amount of money for somebody who had only seven starts. And I think the game changed.
But not an insane amount of to pay a quarterback, $18
million. No, I think the game changed from Osweiler's standpoint with that San Diego game, the season finale.
If you didn't think Brock Osweiler was worth $18 million, then you really weren't committed to Brock Osweiler. Because that's what it costs.
Job security.
That's what it costs to have a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Really?
Did
that work out for Houston?
No. But that was a messed up deal from the beginning.
Exactly. So you think they should have given him a messed up deal from the beginning?
Who, the Broncos?
Yes.
They should have. If he was their guy, they should have proved he's their guy. They never did. He was never their guy. Not really. Not really. But you ran out of time, Nikki, because you drafted him in the second round and you didn't have a fifth-year option. So the clock ran out. Another reason why if you're going to draft a quarterback, you draft him in the first round, because you do get the fifth-year option. It blows me away that unbelievable fact evades people who make the argument you shouldn't draft a quarterback in the first round.
That fifth year is huge for that position especially.
Imagine if we did have a fifth-year option with Brock Osweiler. We would have had a whole year to see Nikki if he deserved to be that high paid guy or not. So why in the world did we draft Brock Osweiler in the second round?
Because that was 2012. That's when they gave up. They didn't have any first round picks that year.
Anyways. So the football logic, smart way to approach things in terms of quarterback development.
Draft Haskins at 10.
Sure. So I can't hate on it. Because it just makes too much sense. Because how much do you really believe in Joe Flacco? He has 1 year where he has guaranteed money. That's it.
He doesn't have any guaranteed money left on his deal. He's got a prove it year this year, but it could turn into what it was like last year in Baltimore for him, where he's holding the seat warm for Lamar Jackson.
Right. All right. Okay.
My thing is, he's not Peyton Manning. You know, you could say
that is
correct. You know, you could say Peyton Manning in 2011, there were questions about his health, certainly coming off the neck injury, but he's still Peyton Manning.
But what makes sense to do that 9 out of 10 football organizations would do and what John Elway would do are two totally different conversations. So again, I would urge the Broncos, who are clearly in a win-now mentality, with John Elway's contract up in 3 years, Joe Ellis done in 3 years, an inevitable change in ownership where you have a unique set of circumstances, is to not draft a quarterback with Haskins, because this whole crew won't be around to take him to the finish line anyway. It's win now, in your first 3 rounds, it's all starters. And after that, contributors, and if you... why even bother with a backup? If it doesn't work out with Joe Flacco, you really got to bomb the year out anyways for Tagovailoa, Herbert, or Fromm. That's it. So drafting a quarterback at 10, while it makes sort of developmental football sense, it doesn't make John Elway sense. Which, of course, don't be surprised if it happens.
This is true.
But there's complicated sets of circumstances. So drafting, like, Ryan Finley.
Doesn't make sense.
Stick
with your current backups.
Right. Drafting Jarrett Stidham in the third round, that just means you are giving up. And I point this kid out, and I don't know if the Broncos even had any interest in him. But Kahale Waring, San Diego State, 6'7" tight end. If you can't get Hockenson, you don't get Irv Smith, you don't get Noah Fant, look at a guy like that. And you need a third-round pick to get him. So you don't throw it away on Ryan Finley, who's not going to play anyway.
No, you need to hit on number 2 and 3. They've been notoriously awful at the second-round pick, the Broncos. Yeah. Cortland Sutton could develop into a good player, but before that,
So to think of Mike Evans and his, you know, Fantastic Four, as he just looks for backup quarterbacks, is preposterous. But if you want to do what's logical and draft a quarterback at 10, there is a world where that makes sense. Chris Harris's world. Does that make sense? Details next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Something interesting's going on. C-Mac with Nikki Jabala. Nikki, why don't you bring us up to speed with the Russell Wilson deal, and we can compare that to what Chris Harris is going through. They're kind of in the playing the same game, at least here.
Yeah, so Russell Wilson has a year left on his deal, and his camp gave the Seahawks an unofficial deadline of today to either get a long-term deal done or not one at all. Now, there's some discrepancy in the interpretation of this deadline. Like, ESPN is saying, you know, if they don't sign an extension today, then he won't do it at all this season. Whereas Peter King wrote up today that he reads it as if they don't do one today, they're not doing one ever.
Yeah, and I think they used Adam Schefter to back off of the severity of that. And Adam's report was they just wouldn't do it during the season.
During the season. So, but he still showed up for the start of the offseason program. And we'll see.
That's an interesting
approach.
If he holds
to it. Yeah, we'll see if he... Well, especially, yeah, given what's going on in Denver. But we'll see if he holds to what he said, and that they won't discuss a long-term deal. And then what that means going forward for him, you know?
All right, let's compare that to Chris Harris. What approach do you like? Chris has gone a more confrontational way, saying, do me a new deal or I'm just not showing up. Wilson actually put a deadline on it, something Chris could have done as well, I suppose.
Well, it doesn't look like the deadline is going to get him any closer to a deal.
No, here's what you need to apply pressure in a public way.
Right.
Because neither Chris nor Russell Wilson has very much leverage whatsoever.
Right. I understand it from Chris Harris's perspective. This is no knock against his decision there. He believes he should be paid higher. And market value suggests that, yeah, absolutely, he should. My only issue is I don't know what this accomplishes.
For who? For Chris?
For Chris.
Nothing.
Except maybe it could just make it more tenuous as they look to begin negotiations after the draft.
I think Russell Wilson has used a much more sophisticated approach.
Chris, I think Russell Wilson, however, has much more leverage than Chris Harris in this, just being who he is. He's one of the top five quarterbacks in the game. Chris, yes, is arguably the top slot corner in the game.
They could both get hurt. They both could break their leg, or they both could face an injury that would put them out forever.
But as the Broncos have seen over the last 4 years or so, it's very hard to replace a franchise quarterback. You can bring in talented corners.
Yeah.
Chris is special, obviously, but you can bring in talented corners.
Yeah, the approach that Wilson and his agents are using, I think, accomplishes more than what Chris is doing. I just didn't even think of an approach like Russell Wilson for Chris, but now that we've seen it, it's hard to not look at it and be like, ah, Chris, maybe that's what you should have done.
But what Russell Wilson's camp is asking for is even more interesting, because they want a long-term deal that fluctuates with the cap, which is, nobody's ever had that.
Interesting.
You know, last year, nobody ever got the fully guaranteed deal before Kirk Cousins. Now we got the top five quarterback wanting a deal that fluctuates with the cap.
Interesting. Well, but neither Wilson or Chris really have any kind of significant leverage in terms of the teams don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson will get paid somehow, some way.
All right. You're as valuable as somebody else will make you valuable, right?
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not trying to hate on Chris Harris here. He's doing what he's doing what's more traditional. Like, this has been done kind of over and over and over again. Yeah. Demarius did this not too long ago, and he didn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, but Demarius and Vaughn, they were different because they were free agents, and they were looking for their first major deal. Chris is not a free agent, and he's looking for his third deal, which almost never happens, especially in Denver. So it's a bit different in how they approach this. But, I mean, deadlines do spur action. The other difference with the Broncos is that they've said many times, we will start to look at this after the draft. From Chris Harris's perspective, can't really rely on that, right? What if they draft a quarterback high? They said they'll wait, and you've played their game, and then all of a sudden it's like, nope, sorry, not really. That's where it becomes dicey. It's a cash issue. You want to see where you're at after the draft, but a lot can also change in the draft.
If you had to bet on Chris Harris, what would you bet?
What do you mean?
What would you bet? How do you think he'll turn out?
Oh, I think they get a deal done.
By?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'd say mid-May. I think it could get a little dicey there for a while. I'm trying to pull up their offseason.
I was
going to
say by the mandatory minicamp, which is the first week of June.
Yeah.
I think the Broncos have, they won't, it doesn't seem to me that they would want this drama to extend into the summer. I think that's a logical time to get it done. And I'll put a caveat on it, and that's if they don't draft a cornerback in the first two rounds. If they draft a cornerback in rounds one or two,
it changes things.
It sure does. Yep. No doubt about it.
So veteran minicamp is June 4th. That's a projected date.
I bet you if they don't draft a corner in rounds one or two, it gets done before the minicamp in June. And everybody's going to be fine, and everybody will be excited and happy and the whole thing.
Yep.
Russell Wilson's deal is really
more complicated.
It's more complicated. It's more interesting. And the concept of what would it take to get Russell Wilson here to Denver? We can explore that next.
Well, they already missed on him once.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to Bronco Land.
D-Mac with Nikki Jabala. All right, let's play this game, Nikki. Would you want Russell Wilson to be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos?
Yes. But there's a but. What are the strings?
How big is the but?
What are the strings? What will it take to get him?
Well, walk me through it. What do you think?
What?
Such as. All right, just to back up. Russell Wilson has put it out there that if they don't sign him to a new deal, he's got a year left. If they don't sign him to a new deal, he will not negotiate with them until the season's over. Which essentially runs the risk that he becomes a free agent and can just go anywhere, and the Seahawks will get absolutely nothing for him.
They could tag him, though.
They could tag him. They could double tag him.
Kirk Cousins worked out for him.
Okay. So, the only thing that Russell Wilson could do to avoid that is to simply not play, which is the threat that Von Miller made a couple years ago.
But why would he want to avoid that? In some ways, I think that could be extremely beneficial to him. That might be his plan, this whole... that might be his endgame.
Correct. So again, the threat of not playing is... or it's probably pretty weak. And the threat of him not being with the Seahawks is actually pretty weak. Seahawks...
He's with them.
He's with them, and there's ways to keep him.
Yep.
So this whole play by Russell Wilson actually doesn't seem to have, a lot of teeth to it. But, it sparks a conversation.
It's a veiled threat.
It's a veiled threat. But it's curious to say, well, what would you do? There is a price for everyone. I'll give you that. So what would that price be?
Good question. How many firsts are involved?
If the Broncos wanted Russell Wilson, what would it cost him? What do you think?
I don't know. Whatever it is, I feel like it'd be worth it.
Really?
He's a top five quarterback. The Broncos need a top five quarterback. Again, it's very hard to replace franchise quarterbacks when you lose them. You know what he can do. He's durable. Maybe shouldn't have passed on him in 2012, but then again, so did many other teams.
Okay. Well, that was a complicated circumstance for the Broncos then, because that's Tebow into Manning and the whole thing.
I say all this believing full well there's no way he leaves Seattle.
Okay.
But you would, to you entertain would, the prospect, would you give up it would
two,
be amazing.
Two first-round draft picks?
Yes.
Would you give up three first-round draft picks?
Yes. They've already spent three first-rounders trying to... I mean, how many... Let's think about it. How many whiffs have they had on quarterbacks trying to fill this one need? Paxton? Chad Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Siemian? You couldn't get Colin Kaepernick? Mark Sanchez didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
How many others?
Three first-round draft picks.
Two in one year, one in the future year. That'd be interesting. It's interesting to think about what a franchise quarterback could do for this team.
I'm playing the game with you. If I'm the Seattle Seahawks and I can get three first-round draft picks for Russell Wilson, would I take that deal?
Yes.
How could you not?
Yes. I know so many people are going to be like, what is she talking about?
I wouldn't do it.
What is your max? What would you,
what would I do for Russell Wilson? What would value be? Well, for a first round pick for sure, because you just start there. What I do a second first round pick? I probably would do two first round picks, yeah. I mean, if, you know, pass rushers are worth two first-round picks. You know, certainly franchise quarterbacks are there, too. But again, then I'd have to... I mean, it's pretty crazy because you'd be giving up two first-round picks, and what are we paying them? I mean, we're paying them, what, $28, $29 million?
You better clear some serious cap space.
So now we got to get rid of some folk. Yeah. I mean, forget Chris Harris. Forget Emmanuel Sanders. Forget...
Would you include Vaughn in that package?
It would clear a lot of space. You know what? I don't think you could do it without Vaughn, actually. Because I don't know how you'd afford it.
Well, if you include Vaughn, that's a game changer for me.
You wouldn't include Vaughn?
Well,
how are you going to have enough space to do it?
Well, you wouldn't give up three firsts and a Vaughn. So, got to rethink this.
Two firsts and a Vaughn?
Ooh.
Now, that's interesting. First of all, you're going to have to, if you're going to do it, you'd have to clear up some massive space anyway. Right. And Vaughn would have to be part of that, period. Two firsts is tricky, but you should be spending one of the firsts on a quarterback anyway. So, sure, you'd probably throw in Joe Flacco, right? He would just be part of the deal. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if it helps their salary dump whatsoever. I don't know what their finances would be, but you certainly wouldn't have Joe Flacco here.
Right.
I think the cost is just way too much. I mean, I think that's what it would be.
I don't see any scenario where I leave Seattle. It'd be silly.
But if you were the Seahawks and you got offered two first-round picks and Von Miller... And throw in Joe Flacco for fun. I'm not sure how you'd turn that down if you're Seattle.
I don't think you could.
But. So I think everybody's got a price. I'm definitely not advocating for it. And the reason why I think it's the most preposterous, first of all, it would take Vaughn, and that's preposterous.
Yeah.
Because it would violate every single thing you did about getting Vic Fangio here.
Right.
And then it would absolutely destroy, Joe Flacco, I guess, would be gone. So I guess that's not a big deal.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. He's still got a big cap hit. But Von Miller's deal over the final 2 years, their team options are not terrible. He's got salaries of $7.5 million in each year. His cap hits are high.
His cap hits well over $20 million, right?
25.6 for 2020 and $22 million for 2021. But, if you decide to move on, you save quite a bit. It's
Listen,
it's still Von Miller. What are we talking about?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Right. And so the excitement that it would be, we could trade possibly for Russell Wilson, kind of dissipates instantly when you think about what you'd actually have to do for it.
Yeah.
And it makes it absurdly unreasonable. And unlikely, and probably this is the last conversation we'll ever have about it.
All right. Well, that was fun.
And by the way, won't this be the same conversation you see everywhere else with all these other teams? Now, there is one interesting team. There is one interesting team, and that's the New York Giants.
Yes.
They're kind of in a different conversation.
What could they give up?
Well, first of all, they could give up two first-round draft picks right now, and they would be giving up 6 and 17. They could possibly give up 3 first-round draft picks and be fine.
That would be interesting.
They could give up the 2 this year, 1 next year, and really be okay.
How strong do you think their commitment is to Eli, really? He's still there.
I am stunned by their commitment to Eli Manning.
But do you think it's all a smokescreen? Even Eli thinks they're going to draft his successor this year. Is it like the Raiders and Derek Carr, where you can kind of see through some of it?
Or? I don't know what to say about him, because it made no sense for them last year to pass on.
They got rid of all their quality players and kept Eli Manning.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to understand the New York Giants, period.
Yeah.
So under that, umbrella, maybe anything could happen. This is The Drive on The Fan.